Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit this evening. It is the last of our Holy Spirit talks. If you haven't caught any of the other ones, they're on the website to download, and I really recommend that you have a listen to them. Well, hello. My name's Katie. For those of you I don't know, I thought I'd give a little introduction to who I am. So I've been coming to Vineyard on and off for quite a long time, which when I worked it out means I'm really old. So we'll just say a few years. I live with my husband Joel and our four children and one crazy dog up in the north, Aldridge, which is north of here. It's not too far. It's very special. It's a beautiful place to live. It's right by Warsaw, which is a unique and exciting place, contrary to what anybody else might say. So yeah, we do life up there, and yeah, that's kind of who I am. And tonight we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. Right, so I'm going to start with a conclusion, so we know where we're going. Number one, God is around and he's active today. Number two, he has a plan for your life. And if you choose to join him, that's called mission, okay? And number three, if you want to know what your mission is, you need to ask the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the sermon. That's where we're going, if I can get the clicker to work. Yay! Right, so we're going to start with a big question. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of the world? Well, I don't know about you, but when I click through my little news app on my phone, it would appear there are a lot of very opinionated politicians. There are some very unusual presidents out there. And Facebook has an awful lot to answer for. So who's in charge? Doesn't always make me feel that living on planet Earth is the most comfortable place to be. If I asked you who's in charge of the church, is it Andrew and Rosie? Archbishop of Canterbury? The Pope? Well, hopefully your answer will be God. God's in charge. I don't know if you know that. Sometimes I have to remind myself. This is one of my favourite scriptures, so I thought we'd start with it. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Number one, he's in charge. He's in charge. He has a plan. His plan and his purpose are to restore the earth and all that's in it. Now, we're in a slight problem here because part one of the plan happened 2,000 years ago. I know you're all familiar with the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's part one. Part two is when Jesus comes back again and brings his kingdom with him, and we're in the middle. Unfortunately, for me and my planner, we don't have God's schedule on that. So that's kind of the problem. We're in the now, and yet we want to be in the future, and we don't know when that bit comes. So if we don't have God's schedule, what do we have? Well, the good news is we have the Holy Spirit, and he's here to help us bring the kingdom in the here and now until the big triumphant return. He's in, he's powerful, he's involved, and he's on plan. Now, Paul, 2,000 years ago, wrote this to the church. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Now, for those of you who aren't Bible scholars, and I'm not, I've done a little bit of a quick synopsis of who Paul was. Well, he was born to strictly Jewish parents, probably a few years after Christ. He lived in Tarsus and inherited the rights of a Roman citizen. Now, why was this important? Well, if he was born to Jewish parents and he had a Jewish upbringing, which he did, he went to school in Jerusalem, for want of a better word, he was able to argue with the Jews of the day with the authority of someone who could draw his family history down from the line of Benjamin right the way back to Abraham. So that gave him authority in Jewish spheres. He was also able to talk to Greeks, which was the other big culture of the day, and argue and debate with them and use their philosophies to put his point forward. Plus, he was a Roman citizen, which basically gave him the equivalent of an EU citizen to get around Europe. Okay, he could go where he wanted to and talk to who he wanted to and wouldn't have been looked down on, which was really important in that society. So you would have thought, with that really impressive CV, that Paul, who was known for his speech, would be able to argue his way and persuade people. But he chose to use the Holy Spirit and God's power to convict people instead. Why? Well, because when the Holy Spirit turns up, it doesn't matter what you say. People get touched by God and changed. I could preach the most eloquent service here, a sermon here today, but it's nothing in comparison to the power of God when the supernatural invades. The dead raise, the blind see, the lame walk, the sick get healed, lives get restored. I mean, words can't compare to that. You know if you've been touched by God, and you're never the same again. So Paul said it 2,000 years ago, and it's still relevant today. Words are great, but God's more powerful. So we need to see the world as the Spirit sees it. Someone once told me, you're a supernatural being having a human experience, and that's how you need to view life. So if you believe in Jesus, you're a supernatural being. You're just having a human experience. But you need to see life with your supernatural eyes on. Why? Because, well, the Spirit doesn't see the world as we see it. So we need to change our sight to see it as he sees it. Contrary to views that are around there, God's not an ideal. He's not a concept. He's not dead. And he's not forgotten. He's around and he's active all over the world today. And sometimes we just need to change the glasses we're wearing to see what he's doing. He's looking to heal. He's looking to save. He's looking to restore lives. And he's looking for people to partner with him. We just need to look for him. If you can't see what God's doing in your world, ask him. And I can guarantee he'll be doing much more behind your back than he'll ever do in front of your face. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is interested and wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives, the good days and the bad days. It can be easier to look for the Holy Spirit when everything's going great. You know, when, you know, life's good, everything's exactly as you want it to be, you're coasting along. It's great to praise God then. It's really easy to lift your hands in worship. And he wants to be involved in that. But he also wants to be involved in the days where the skies aren't blue and shiny, they're grey and dark. And getting out of bed's a challenge. And as for lifting your hands in prayer, you can't even lift your head off the pillow. Those are the days he wants to be involved too. The book of Romans says, I'm loving the fact I can do this clicker. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. There are bleak days in everybody's lives. Don't give up on God in them. There are days when you've got a gut-wrenching pain and you can't utter a word. It's okay to lie face down on the floor and groan. He gets it, and he wants to walk with us through those days. The Holy Spirit allows us to express things that are so deep within our soul and spirit so that he can bring his comfort, his help, and his healing so that we can get back up off the floor, raise our hands in worship, and partner with him. There's no part of our lives that God isn't interested in or invested in. But we get a choice. His love, like all love, is offered, and you can choose to take it or not. His vision is life in abundance, but we have free will. We can choose to ask God to bring heaven into our lives through his kingdom on a daily basis, or we can just walk there alone. God wants us to partner with him. So the Spirit has a plan for the world, and if you choose to join in, it's called mission. Now, it's really exciting to hear what God's doing around the world. It's fantastic when people stand up here and tell you awesome stories. But what is it going to look like at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in Aldridge? It might not look supernaturally or inspiring. I'm going to let you into a secret, partly because my lovely neighbours are here. It might look like utter chaos if you're in Inkster land. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit can still move there. What was it going to look like in your morning at 8 o'clock tomorrow? When you're packing your bags, when you're in your commute, when you're trying to find TalkSport to see the football scores. How is the awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing, awe-inspiring God going to break into your life? You see, while we can talk about this amazing supernatural Father, and he's fab, and he's the God of the supernatural, he's also the God of the Monday morning and the mundane. He can see it, and he wants to partner with you in it. He's interested, and he wants to be active in all the details and the delights, and he delights in the mundane of your morning. And we have the opportunity to make our Monday mornings and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays supernatural. We just need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us daily. Why? Well, I am a bit like a colander. I can ask God to fill me, and by 8 o'clock, I've already started to leak out a little bit. And by 8 p.m., there's a lot less of him in me unless I've gone back to ask him for it. Now, you might all be the most amazing Christians, so I'm just judging me by me. But I need God to fill me on a daily basis because I leak. So why would the God of the supernatural be interested in me, in my life? Well, this is what he thinks of us. We are God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good, which God prepared in advance for us. Now, if you look at different translations of this, it also says we are God's poem or we are God's piece of art. You're a piece of art. You're a work of art designed to do good things. You are in God's plan. Now, depending on how you see yourself and your self-image, and mine is pretty good, being a piece of work, art is quite a difficult thing to get your head around. I mean, I've got a good self-image, but there's a lot more of this artwork than there used to be. And I'd, although tonight I think I could do the drop a dress size challenge standing up here. But, you know, I do get to a point where I think, how on earth, God, are you going to use me? And why would you use me? But this is how he thinks of us. Now, I've been wrestling with speaking in church since Rosie asked me at the beginning of the year. I have literally woken up in cold sweats, okay? Because the older I've got, the more I've realised that I'm not perfect. I know I like to think I am, but I'm not. And to stand here means I've got to partner with the Almighty. I've had to seek his heart and will for today for you guys. And I'm, well, just me. I mean, I couldn't even use the clicker this morning. Ironically, well, no, breakthrough. Ironically, in preparing, I've had to get my head and my heart around this issue. I am never, ever going to be good enough to partner with God in my own strength. But Jesus died for me, and that's why I can stand here. Regardless of my imperfections, and there are many, God still wants to use me because he is good enough. I don't need to compare myself to you or anyone else because my calling and my mission and my gifts are unique to me. So all I need to do is ask him what I need to do and walk with him on a daily basis with that. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you're never going to be good enough to partner with God in your own strength. But Jesus died for you, so you can. God actively and passionately wants you to partner with him because he is good enough. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't look at your GCSE scores, your SAT scores, your university degree scores. Don't look at the car your best friend's driving. Okay? Look at what God's calling you to do and where he wants you to put your feet and where your sphere of influence is. Because however fantastic your best mate's life looks, yours is just as exciting. So what does mission mean? Isn't that for somebody else? Isn't that what Tom and Ali do when they pop over the seas for a couple of weeks? Well, I had a look in the dictionary, because it's always a good place to start when you don't know what a word means. Mission, according to the dictionary I looked at, is a noun, and that's a naming word. And I'd got a feeling it was more of a verb, because I think it's a doing word. But the dictionary says that mission is a group or committee of people sent to a foreign country to conduct negotiations. Aha, this is Tom and Ali, not me. Mission is a business with which a group is charged, or mission is an important task or duty that is assigned, allotted, or self-imposed. That means it could be me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask you to go to foreign countries, and that's exciting. He might ask you to move jobs, locations, cities, even continents, and that's great. You're unique, and never dismiss the passions and interests that you've got. Part of my day job, I get to hang out with the coolest people in the world. They're 3, 4, and 5. If I'm really lucky, I get to go to this year 6, 7s as well. Now, if you watch 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, they are full of their own confidence and they know exactly what they're going to do with the world. If you've got a problem, ask a 3-year-old. They'll have the answer for you, I promise. But you can spot, if you stand back and watch them, the builders of tomorrow, because they're the kids that will always go to the bricks. You can watch the nurses and the doctors of tomorrow because they're the ones that will go and pick up the toys and start to bandage them or try to perform open heart surgery on their mate. You can watch the teachers because they will get everybody else into line, and you can watch the policemen because they'll tell you what everybody else is doing wrong. Okay? But if you track with these kids for years and when they're adults, you often see that what we were interested in children is what God calls us to partner with him when we're adults. Because he wants to work with what we like. He's put those likes and dislikes in us for a reason. So when our passions mingle with God's desires, that's mission. Ultimately, it's about the Holy Spirit calling you and you helping him to bring them a kingdom of God to where you're at, to your world, to our world, and to change it. Mission isn't something a few people do in another country. It's what happens when the Holy Spirit fills you. So this verse in Luke talks about mission. When you are brought before the synagogue rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you'll defend yourselves or what you say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. Well, the first time I read it, I thought, oh no, that means you're going to end up in trouble. And if I'm totally honest, when I've stepped out for God a few times, I have ended up getting into trouble. Because not everybody likes it when you try and change the spiritual atmosphere. However, God will help you. He's there to help you and partner you. Mission is risky. It's risky stepping out and doing something that goes against the norm of the world. Learning to trust the Holy Spirit and partner with him, it leads us to take risks. Standing up here is a risk. Opening yourself up to talk to somebody about Jesus, that's a risk. Offering to pray for somebody, that's a risk. The more you do it, the less risky it gets, and then God stretches you a little further. If you do get the opportunity to go abroad on a mission or an outreach, I would really recommend you do it. I went to India a few years ago, and it totally stretched me. It did more in me, I guess, than the people I met there. I got to go and work with some churches, and a group of us got to go to a leper colony to pray. Now, I'd love to tell you that I prayed for sick people and saw limbs and digits return. I didn't. I have to tell you, it was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. But those people were desperate for a touch of Jesus, And they were happy just for you to walk and talk with them and pray with them. It did more in me than it did in them. Well, I can't say that. I mean, I haven't been back to see what the effects of God's prayers were, but I know it was a life-changing experience for me. But there's also mission here. A few years ago, when the twins were born, I wasn't very well, and I couldn't really look after them. But this church at the time did mission. I don't know if you know it. Rosie came and cleaned my house. That was mission. Some of you prayed for a cleaner for me. That was mission. One of you organised food to be brought over for my family, so the baby, for my twins, which were babies, didn't have to get weaned on jarred food. That's mission. Now, going back to that statement that God does more behind your back than he does in front of your face, my parents weren't Christians. 5 years ago, which was 5 years after all that happened, my mum became a Christian. And one of the reasons she became a Christian, well, one of her arguments for not becoming a Christian, was that the church just wants your money. That was her main argument. The church just wants your money. But the love and the servanthood of this church broke down her arguments. It took her 5 years to get there. But she went to a course in the local Anglican church and she became a Christian. She now goes out into the community and takes communion to those who can't get to church. So God's doing more behind your back than he's ever going to do in front of your face. And when you make a meal for somebody who's not very well, that might not feel like the most awe-inspiring mission, but it can change the world. Because you don't know the ripples of the effects that your actions are going to have. Now, on the back of that, one of my little missions is that anytime a friend of mine has a baby, I always make a meal for them. And I try and make the best meal that I possibly can. Now, if you know my cooking skills, that is a mission and a half in itself. And I'm going to let you into a secret. It always happens. Babies are always born when my financial budget has reached, oh my goodness, can I make it to the end of the month as well? But I try and I put in the bag, I'll put a meal for two of them because dads always deserve a little bit of help. I get the best pudding that I can buy off Marks and Spencer's because I'm rubbish at making puddings. And I put in a bottle of wine. I don't care which one of them drinks it, but I know that one of them will need it. And we've become a bit renowned because I did it for my colleagues at work when they had babies, and we seem to have had a baby boom for doing this, to the point where people now say, oh, are you going to bring us a bag? Are you going to bring us a meal on wheels when we've had a baby? That doesn't seem like a supernatural action, but it is mission. And I don't know what God's doing and the effect and the ripples of me just rocking up on a doorstep saying, Meals on Wheels. I'm praying, oh my goodness, Lord, make sure they don't get food poisoning from it, which I do. But I know that it could change their world. And who knows whose worlds it will change as a result of that. So, and I'm coming into land now because I do like to talk and I'm trying to keep it to 20 minutes. Holy Spirit, fill me. Send me. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Well, Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing. So that's a really good place to start. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's your mission for today? For tomorrow morning, you can ask him what your mission is for your life because he might want it to be a different place from here. You know, Joel and I have done all sorts of crazy things trying to follow God's mission for our life. We've moved house, we've changed jobs, we've packed up our kids, we've started churches. Because we felt the Holy Spirit stirring us. But before we do any big thing, there's like a three little checklist that we follow. Check your spirit. The Holy Spirit ultimately brings peace. If you've got something that feels like this isn't right, the chances are it isn't. Check the Bible. There's nothing the Holy Spirit is going to ask you to do that doesn't line up with what's here. And three, check with the church leader. You know, we all know in part and we all prophesy in part. And if it is something that the Holy Spirit's calling to you, other people will be feeling it in their spirits too. But ask. Ask him, what does he want you to do? So I'm going back to where I started. God is around and he's active today. He has a plan for your life. And that's called mission. But you have to ask for it. The Holy Spirit is changing the world. We are in really exciting times. He wants to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and set the captives free. And he might want you to do that at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Okay. I can't because my mind's just gone blank. You got it. I think we probably need to pray because I can feel him here. If you're under the age of 20, I want you to take this on board. I am going to say it again for you. God is around and active today, regardless of what your friends on Snapchat say. Okay, if you're under 20, listen to this. God has a plan for your life. If you're under 20, you need to be pushing into it because it's not what your friends are doing on Snapchat. You have a chance to change the spiritual dynamics of your generation. You're at the back. It's not just Warwick's nutty mum saying this. I really feel this is a word from God. Push in, because it's exciting.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.